I really hope they speak English. I really hope they speak English. And then you get up there and it's like, hola, buenos días.
They don't ask. They don't ask. They're like, no, I'm not gonna ask for permission.
Oh my God. This is like my entire week's groceries in Georgia.
I just felt like I wanted to like chat with people, and like people were really turned off by that.
Hello everyone, my name is Adu and this is Expats Exposed, honest conversations with expats around the globe. This podcast is brought to you by ReadyGo Expat. For videos about life in different countries, interviews with expats and travel guides, go to youtube.com/ReadyGoExpat. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Expats Exposed podcast. Hope you're all doing fine. Hope you're all some safe, you and your family, because we're still going through this pandemic. I say this in every episode, and unfortunately, it's true. I hope one day I'm going to start an episode saying, hey guys, what are you up to? Like, and forget about this. But yeah, unfortunately, we're still going through this. You guys know that I am in Bogota. And before that, if you heard my episode number 4, I told you my China story. And I was supposed to go back to Brazil in 2020, in January. Just for 2 weeks, and then literally 2 weeks before the pandemic started, I arrived in Brazil, and then I could never go back to China. So if you've heard my episode about my China story, that was what happened to me. I couldn't go back to end my contract. My suitcase is still there, but that's one of my aims for 2022, to ask my friend to actually send it to me here in Bogota. But yeah, and when I was talking, when I was during this episode, I mentioned reverse culture shock. And a friend of mine, Larissa, told me, like, what the hell is that? Like, why don't you talk more about that? So I remember that someone else also went through kind of like the same thing. So I decided to invite her to talk about her experience with reverse culture shock back in the U.S. So welcome, Nikki. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I told you it's warm here today, weirdly warm in Bogota. What about you? Where are you now and how's the weather there?
I am currently in San Jose, California at my sister's house, and it is pretty cloudy. I mean, I probably sound like a wimp for saying it's cold in California, but it's a little bit cold.
Yeah, we're recording this in January, so of course it's winter there, right? And but does it get really cold winter there? No.
Yeah, I mean, the closer you are, I think, to the bay, like to San Francisco, it gets colder. San Jose is okay, but I think today is like 12 degrees. For me, that's cold now, being used to California. It doesn't snow where I am, but it does have like a bit of a chill.
Good.
So, yeah.
All right. Yeah, here I think it's now kind of like 17 or 18, but then in the evening it goes to like down to like 12 Celsius, 10.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
actually
that's
good.
Cold.
It's good.
Yeah,
yeah, I
okay.
like it.
For me, that's cold.
But it's great to sleep. We don't need an AC or anything. So
oh, that's true. That's true.
That's good. That's good. So Nikki, first of all, could you please introduce yourself? Say where you are now, where you were before you move back to the US, and tell us a bit, like, how can people find you online?
Okay, sure. Before moving back to the US, I've lived all over, but most recently I was in Georgia and Turkey. I moved to Georgia, the country of Georgia and Tbilisi, in January of 2020. I didn't know how long I would stay there, but of course, you know, like a few weeks later, the pandemic started. So I ended up staying much longer than expected, and I stayed for 14 months. And then I was in Turkey for 3 months. And then in the middle of June, I went back to the States, to Colorado, which is where I grew up because my mom has a house there. So I was in Colorado for the whole summer. Luckily, I was able to go to Mexico for 1 month in October. And then I spent November, December, and the beginning of January at my sister's house in California. Okay, so social media, I am on Instagram. You can find me at Nikki Post Stuff, NikiPostStuff. My name is Nikki Post, so it's very punny. And then my YouTube channel is Nikki Posts Travel Stuff.
Good, good. And I found you on, I mean, through art. You
Yeah.
guys, when you guys were in Georgia,
In
right?
Georgia, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when we started, talking, and you've already sent audios to help me with my podcast and everything, but I was like,
Yeah.
I need to tell her, I need to share her story as well, because it's kind of, I think, guys, by the way, we didn't talk about it yet. So like, I want to hear her thoughts, her experience, and she's also going to find out about mine. Maybe it's similar, maybe it's not, I don't know, but we're going to find out together. So so you spent 14 months in Georgia, then Turkey, and then, so how long have you been in the US now?
So I came back in October, sorry, in June. I got back June 10th.
So
So basically,
7,
6 months.
8, yeah, around
Yeah,
six, 7 months.
6 months.
But now, just before we start talking about reverse culture shock, I know that you're leaving again, right? Can you tell
Yes.
us where you're going, when you're going?
Yeah, so in about 10 days, I'm going to Argentina. I'll start in Buenos Aires with the goal of ultimately reaching Mendoza, where I'll see if I want to live. Yeah,
Perfect.
I lived in Buenos Aires when I was 23 and I loved it so much. Like, I always say that I miss Buenos Aires more than I've ever missed a man. I loved it so much, and like I had heartbreak when I left. I didn't want to leave, and I always just thought of it, and it was always kind of like this like Mecca place for me. Like, I want to get back there. And so yeah, I guess I've just reached a point where I'm like, oh, well, now's the time. Like, okay, I haven't been back to South America at all since. So yeah, it's just time. I want to go back.
Yeah, the I've been there 5 times, but that the weird thing is I've only been to Buenos Aires. Like, I don't even know Córdoba, I don't
Okay.
know any other Mendoza, I don't know the other places. And I've been to Uruguay as well. But yeah, it's one of my favorite cities in the world, for
Yeah,
sure.
there's something that's so special about it. Like the
Yeah.
food, the culture, the people, like it just feels good. And when I'm there, estoy en mi salsa, which is what they say in Buenos Aires. Do you know what that means? Estoy en mi salsa.
Not really. What does it mean?
So, well, literally, it's like I'm in my sauce, but it's like the expression means like I am where I'm meant to be. I am what I like. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I am where I'm supposed to be, and that's how I feel when I'm in Buenos Aires. Like, at least then, it's one of the only places that I've lived where I really felt a sense of place. Like, I belong here, and I want to be here, and I love it.
That's amazing. Just a funny thing, when you said "Estoy mi salsa," I was like, "Oh, I thought salsa as the dance, because I'm in Colombia." So I'm like, "Oh, it's my rhythm. You know, it's
Yeah,
my."
you won't find me dancing. I don't have rhythm. I can't even clap.
I'm like, I'm actually looking forward to like learning a bit of salsa here, because
Yeah.
I've tried it in China when I lived there. Two Colombians were teaching us, and it's difficult. Like, even though you think, oh, but you can dance samba, Brazil, I'm like, nah,
Yeah.
it's different. So yeah,
Different.
I'm looking forward to that. But your
Okay,
salsa
cool.
is the sauce, okay, not
Yes, I'm
the.
leaving the
Okay, so I don't know if you guys are listening to this and you don't know what reverse culture shock means, then I'm gonna read a brief definition. And then we'll start talking about our experience with reverse culture shock. So, reverse culture shock is an experience of disorientation and unhappiness upon returning to your home country after an extended period abroad. It is common for reverse culture shock to be a more negative and challenging experience than culture shock itself. So, you've guys probably heard about culture shock. I definitely experienced a lot of that when I lived in China, when I got there for the first year, 2 years, or the entire period I was there. But then reverse culture shock is when you get back to your home country, maybe back to your hometown, and then you are not expecting to experience any culture shock, or because it's like it's where you're from, where you were born, whatever. So then you end up experiencing something that sometimes it's as the definition says, it's even more challenging than culture shock itself. So, Nikki, What did you experience? Did you experience anything when you got back to the US?
Yeah, I think definitely. And I'll say that the only reason I went back was because I was working for an online reproductive health company, and they changed their rules and no longer allowed me to work from abroad. So they kind of gave me like a 90-day limit. They were like, okay, you either come back in 90 days or you quit. And so I decided, like, okay, I'll save up a bit of money and I'll go back to the States until the end of the year, and save up working for this company. So it wasn't exactly like my choice to go back. Like, if that weren't an issue, I would have continued on somewhere else and just kept traveling or living somewhere else abroad. But I've quit now, which is why I'm going to Argentina. But as far as like culture shock returning, this time that I came back was like the least amount of culture shock, reverse culture shock, I think. And that's because I've left and come back so many times and have experienced culture shock and reverse culture shock so many times that I kind of know what to expect by now. Like, oh, I remember how that was weird, so I'm not going to do that this time. Or I remember this, or I remember that. So I have this like reverse culture shock muscle memory. So every single time it gets a little bit easier. But then there's always like those weird small things, you know, where you're like, I can't remember if I pay before or after, or, you know, I can't think of other examples, but like that, the small things that you get so used to in one culture that you don't expect to be difficult. And then you come back and you're like, oh, that is funny. What is the right way to do it? And of course, in the United States, the thing is supermarkets. But for me, like, the supermarkets are overwhelming because they have so many choices and you're like, oh, why do you need like an entire cereal aisle? But at the same time, I really like having all those choices because I come back and I'm like, oh, I can actually like get this thing I want, or have a choice of like this thing. And it's really, really nice to have American supermarkets, like having like 12 different types of nut milks. Instead of like going to 16 supermarkets looking for one and like maybe you'll find soy.
But then when you were in Georgia, like, can people there speak English?
Younger generations, yes, a bit more. The older generations speak Russian. And I definitely don't fault them for not speaking more English, because I'm in their country and like you know, it's funny because I actually really like languages and usually put a lot of effort into learning and studying languages. Like when I was in Korea, I worked so hard and like I took the level test and I was like practicing every day. For some reason, being in Georgia, I felt really uninspired. I don't know what it was, but I didn't have that much like passion to learn Georgian. And I think part of it is that it was the pandemic. So like, I wasn't interacting with people. I was just at home all the time. So like, there was no payoff to learning Georgian. And so I learned, you know, a few like phrases and things. I definitely didn't learn as much as I should. But yeah, I mean.
Because like when, I'm just asking this because like when I was in China and I like people were talking next to me. Yeah. Taxi drivers are talking, or like in the restaurant, I could not understand a thing. So like, yeah. I was like, nah, I don't care. Like, I don't understand. Maybe they're laughing at me, I don't know. And then when you get back to your home country and you can understand everything, all the conversation, yeah. Like, gosh, I can't believe they're talking about that. Gosh, I can't believe they're like.
Yeah, that is one of the weird things actually, because it's kind of nice not understanding everything. Mm-hmm. It's like white noise and you can concentrate and you can focus and you can do whatever, because like, you can't hear it, you can't understand. Yeah, coming back to the States, like you'll be at a coffee shop or something and you hear English behind you and you're like, oh my God, I wonder where they're from. And then you're like, oh yeah, everyone speaks English here. Like, I'm thinking like, oh, we're going to relate because we're like two foreigners.
Yes.
Like, oh, like, okay, yeah, everyone, this is what everyone speaks. And then you do start judging conversations. It's so annoying. Like, You could be having the same conversation with your friend and saying the exact same thing, and you think it's cool. And then, like, if you hear someone else saying it, you're like, oh my God, they're so dumb. I can't believe they think that. I can't believe they're saying that. How stupid.
And the good thing about that was, like, I remember I used to go, like, I don't know, just for shopping China, buy rice, buy water, buy something. And then people, of course, I look like a foreigner, so they would like always ask me, where are you from? And then I can reply to that. And I said, I'm from Brazil. I work at the school here as an English teacher. That's it. And I would just leave. In Brazil, because we of course it's the same language, they're like, they ask about your personal life. They're like, so what are you doing here? So what about this? What about that? I'm like, I don't want, like, even like the guy who works the apartment, like I get back home at like 11 and he's like, so how was the party and stuff? And I was like, dude, I just want to go into my room and sleep. You know, like, so it's like they always have an opinion. They always ask about like some hot topic that's like, you know, just went viral, and they're always talking about that. So that was really, at the beginning, was really annoying, because I'm not the, I don't know if I should say it, but I'm not like the average Brazilian who loves just like sit down and start chatting and talk about. But again, like I love talking, but it's not like every time I go into an Uber, oh gosh, they would start talking and talking and talking. And then the second thing that was really bad, and then of course in China, first of all, we cannot talk about the government. I mean, I couldn't be, I signed a contract.
Oh wow.
So you get back to Brazil, and okay, if you don't know anything that's happening in Brazil, just think about, you know, the US a couple of years ago, and I think kind of like still now. So it's like really polarized, and we have a president there who's like extreme right wing. And next year, no, actually this year, 2022, we got elections in October. So
Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro, please. Like, I'm gonna vote. I'm gonna actually vote from here, from Bogota.
Oh, good.
I need to, like, wherever I am, I need to vote. So it's, what I'm saying is, I get to the country and like, people are so angry or furious about like stupid things, and all the conversations are like, they end up being about politics. And I'm like, weren't we just talking about like Big Brother reality show? Like, weren't we just like listening to music and drinking beer? Aren't we just watching football or soccer on TV?
Yeah.
Why do we have to talk? Oh, but this guy, he supports the president, or this guy is against the president. I'm like, how did everything ended up like that? And then again, I left for 5 years. So when he was elected, I was away. But one of the things about reverse culture shock is that even though you follow your friend's Instagram, Facebook, you talk to them, you don't know how it really is in the country till you get there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's like you don't really like feel it. You intellectually know what's going on and like see what people post, but you don't really feel it until you're on the ground and like what it really feels like.
Yeah. And one of the problems as well that I think it's like the reverse culture shock is that we both left. I mean, no, you left a bit longer than me, like a while longer. But like when I left, when did you leave the last time?
The last time?
That, like, you left the U.S.?
I guess I was in the U.S. December 2019. And then I left January 2020.
Oh.
And then came back June 2021.
Okay. I don't know if you experienced this, but after nearly 5 years, I get back. And then I still got like some, you know, good friends back in my hometown. And we sit, and then they ask, so how was China? And then I speak for 5 minutes, and then they're like back to their own world.
Yeah. It's hard to explain. People won't get it anyways.
Yeah. And the worst part is that the conversations they're having are about the same things like 5 years ago. And I was like, I can't believe they're still talking. And usually it's talking about like other people or other couples or like gossip or of course, like the president, the media and stuff. And you're like, I don't really belong here anymore. Like, how weird is that? Right?
Yeah. I definitely felt that I don't belong here anymore feeling a long time ago. And I guess I don't experience it as much anymore because I don't really have a lot of friends from my hometown anymore. Like, there's people I know that I went to school with, but they're not like my core group of friends. Like, Art has his core group of friends from like high school and college, and they're just like talk all the time, and then they come back whenever they're all in Brazil and they're all together. And I don't have like a group like that. Like my best friends are like people I met in Korea and people I met in Florence and other people who are in the same situation as me. Like my best friends in my adult life are like other foreigners who travel all the time and live abroad. So we relate a lot more, like in a different way.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. You can relate a lot more because they've also, in a way, left their homes, experienced living mm-hmm. abroad. They know the challenges. They know the difficulties already. So in a way, it's easier to connect. Like, and then I get back home and then people are still like, you know, like 5 years ago, like 10 years ago, it's like the same stories and the same things. So because I feel disconnected, I feel, as the definition said, like, you know, kind of unhappy, disappointed. I'm not excited to like go somewhere. That's your dog, your sister's dog.
Yeah, it's my sister's dog, and she's tiny too. I don't know why she thinks she's so tough. There's nothing outside that she's barking at, so.
So yeah, so this feeling of being, you know, disconnected, that was really bad. Of course, when you get back home and there's the food, I'm like, oh, I miss the food, like you'd mentioned as yeah. well, like all the options and the food and everything. But that lasts for like maybe a month. And again, yeah. you're like, okay, I'll do my own thing. Yeah. And yeah, ready to leave. Exactly. And then, and one of the problems as well is when the...
Keep talking.
Yeah. Okay. One of the problems as well is when people come and ask us like, so when are you coming back? So how's life there? So don't you miss life here in Brazil? And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't miss. Do you feel like that? Do you really miss the US or you don't miss it at all?
No. I never miss it. I think I got those questions in the beginning, you know, because I've essentially been living abroad since 2005. Like I come back to the States, but never for very long. When I was 30, I came back for a year and I lived in Boulder and then I lived in Miami for 2 years. A little bit later, but beyond that, I've like since 2005 until now, I've besides this like few years, I've been abroad. So people are used to me being gone. And so it's not even a question anymore. Like now it's just like, oh, how long are you here for? And where are you going next? Like no one asks me like, when are you going to stay? When are you going to live here? When are you going to get a job here? Like it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. When I told them, last time I was like last month, they're like, oh, you're gonna come back for Christmas? I was like, nah, not really. And they're like, okay, we thought you would be like, you know, still there. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the one of the interesting things that I thought when I got back is how much, in Brazil at least, how much alcohol people like, how much there's always alcohol when we socialize.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, like even visiting a friend to meet, you know, their babies or the kids and stuff. It's like, okay, they're going to go to sleep. Okay, now we have wine, whiskey, beer, whatever you want. Or like you go somewhere to watch football and there's always alcohol. And in China, of course, there's alcohol. But many times we used to go out and just drink tea or mm-hmm. just go out and not drink at all. I mean, just talk, you know. So it's funny how alcohol is really associated with socializing. And I'm going to say not only Brazil, I mean,
yeah, I think
Argentina, Colombia as well. I've seen it. Yeah. Here. What do you think about that? Is it the same in the US?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as much. And I think it probably depends like on who you're spending time with. But I think a lot revolves around alcohol. Like, yeah, like when you meet up with your friends, you're like, let's go get a drink. Like, that's kind of the normal. Let's go get a beer. Let's, you know, you're very rarely like, let's go get a tea.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can, but not as common.
Yeah. And the other thing was like, China is so cheap to order food or to just go to a restaurant. Yeah. Oh gosh. When I got back to Brazil, I was like, okay, I'll just go to a restaurant. And then I was like, why is it so expensive? You know, it's so expensive.
It's crazy. Like, especially when I first got back, like I remember I actually went to the liquor store and I just got like a 6-pack of beer and I got like a small bottle of bitters and like a soda and it was like $30. And I was like, Oh my God. This is like my entire week's groceries in Georgia. Like, I can't believe how expensive things are. And you go to a restaurant here and it's like average of $25 per person. Like, you go two people and it's over $50. And you're like, for dinner? What? It is really weird, especially coming from Georgia where dinner is $5 to $10.
Yeah, the other thing that I remember when I got back to Brazil that I was like, is that in China, I mean, there's the internet, the firewall and stuff. So like Facebook doesn't work there. You need a VPN, blah, blah. But they also have their own apps. And I know that they, like, some of the apps that I used was like free to watch movies, to watch series, music. Like, I would listen to all, you know, and I'm talking about like international music, like, everything, and it was all free. And then I would open my Netflix account there, and my students would be like, but why do you pay? And I was like, because it's like, I gotta pay, you know, I gotta pay for Spotify. I mean, you don't have to, but yeah, if you want Spotify Premium, YouTube Premium, Netflix Prime, and then you go back and you got like Prime Video, Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus, all of that, and you gotta pay for all of that, you know? And then I was like, that's a lot of money. So I started, like, I had like 5 subscriptions, I think. Now I think I have only 2, like Netflix and Prime Video. That's it. Or else, you know, these things add up. And then at the end of the month, your credit card is like, whoop. And it's the same thing with Uber. Like, in China, it's really cheap. So you can just hop on a cab or Didi, which is their Uber. You get to Brazil and you like Uber around. And then you see your credit card bill. You're like, uh-oh, I should take the bus. You know?
Things are so much more expensive. I hardly ever Uber in the States, but very uncommon because it's so expensive. And in Georgia, it would be like less than $2 from going out to go home. Like, it's nothing.
Exactly. And I was going to ask about the excitement. Like, I mean, Georgia, for example, I've watched videos and, you know, I talked to you guys and I know a lot about it now. Like, the excitement of like, being an expat, being a foreigner, an immigrant in a country, it's like, even if you're just going to work and walking back home, it's the excitement of like, wow, what's this? Wow, I could go, like, you know, I could try this new food. I could try this new dish. I could try this new drink, or I could just sit a random, like in China, this happens a lot. I would just be eating like barbecue at midnight because it's super safe. And I was just like drinking beer, eating barbecue and watching whatever show they're showing there, like, and I know the people in the restaurant, but then this random drunk guy would always come and sit and be like, oh, where are you from? And of course it can be irritating. It is sometimes.
Yeah, but it's also fun.
Yeah, at the same time it's fun. And then their kids want to take pictures with you, like their parents ask
all the time.
Right? And it's so funny. Like, and but the excitement of being like, okay, now it's the weekend. I could go anywhere. Like, I had a 2.5-day weekend, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, take the train, the high-speed train, and go to this mountain, or go to this village, or go to Shanghai. And when you are back home, you're like, it's the weekend. What are you going to do? And now that we work, we both work remotely, it's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, close the email and stuff, and just open Netflix, or, of course, see friends and everything, but there's nothing.
It's different. It is. Like, when I moved to Boulder for a year, I was like, oh, I'm so uninspired being here. Like, this is where I grew up. So I don't have any excitement of like going out and getting to know the city or like meeting new people because I already know people. And it just was really uninspiring. And I was like, I've got to get out of here. At least in Miami, you know, it had a different element. It's like, okay, yes, it's the States, but like, not really. And you have to speak Spanish, and like, even you can't like take an Uber if you don't speak Spanish, and it's just like very Latin culture. And so it was a really good mix for me because it felt like traveling, but it was also the States. And so I did really like Miami, although after 2 years of that too, I was like, okay, no, I want to like go to a real foreign country.
That's interesting. Is that really Miami? Is like, I've been to Miami, I think twice, but last time was like, I don't know. I don't even remember when, 2006. I experienced that there. I was in a shop and I was like, can I have a red or can I have a different size? And they're like replying in Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it's exciting because like, okay, I speak Spanish, so like, oh, this is fun. I can speak Spanish. But sometimes you don't want to. Like sometimes you're just really tired and like sometimes you don't know how to say like roll of quarters in Spanish. And so I would be like at a checkout and be like, I really hope they speak English. I really hope they speak English. And then you get up there and it's like, hola, buenos días. And you're like, oh, okay, here it goes. Like, I'm so tired, but okay, I'll speak in Spanish.
Yeah, that's funny. And the thing about the like, for example, this the excitement and stuff. Yes, it's true. However, there's also now, if we think about when it's better to be home, for example, in China, it's like so advanced in so many levels, like high speed train technology, 5G, like so many things, payments, like it's a cashless society, China.
I love that.
It's amazing. It's amazing. When you get back home and you're like, oh, cash. Okay, that's my case. That was my case in
Yeah,
Brazil
especially
for
for
sure.
tips. I hate tipping. In
Oh,
the States, you have.
that's something we tell me about tipping. We don't have that in Brazil.
Oh, really? So if you go to eat dinner, it's standard that you have to pay 20% as a tip. And then if for different services like a taxi driver or like a bartender, you would give $1 per drink. But you basically have to tip for everything here. You have to tip your taxi drivers, you have to tip the person who cuts your hair, you have to tip your waiter, you have anything food service, you tip your barista. You have to tip for everything because I think it's bullshit because it's like the companies themselves are not paying a proper salary for their employees and they're putting the burden and the onus of the salary onto the consumer. And it's so stupid. Like, just charge more and then we'll just pay what we owe and then like pay your people a living wage.
Yes.
But instead, you have to know that like whatever your bill is, you pay 20% more than that.
Yeah, that's so let me just clarify, like in Brazil and in Colombia, both countries, we don't tip. However, in both countries, it already comes on the bill, 10% service. And it's optional. You don't have to pay that. So if you feel that you didn't get good service, you don't pay that. In the only difference is that in Brazil, we always know it's like automatic. Everybody knows, and it's going to come in the bill, and we add up 10% all the time. Everybody knows. In Colombia, it's also 10%, but they always ask when we say La Cuenta, and they're like, can I include service? It's like, sure. And then they bring it with service included. So on top of that, we don't, I mean, it's not common to tip on top of that. I mean, I haven't seen that. My friends are like, no, we're already paying the service, which is the tip. So the tips, like, but one of the things like in China that it was kind of like, even though it's so advanced, it was like kind of going like, I don't know, back in time, is for instance like smoking there. So in these restaurants, like, and again, I'm not talking about Shanghai, Beijing, and the bigger cities. I lived in a very small town, and people like there was a guy fixing. There was a plumber fixing my toilet. And then the landlady was there, and the guy was literally just smoking inside my bathroom. And like they don't ask, but they don't ask. They're like, no, I'm not gonna ask for permission. Same thing like in restaurants, in bars, everywhere.
Buses.
Buses, I saw it twice, and I was like, I can't believe the guy's smoking here. But it was like, it was, it's not that common. Like, for example, I saw people smoking at the departure lounge of like the airport, and I was like, are you serious? Waiting for someone, like.
So gross. I remember being in China in 2006 and took several like overnight buses, and it was just like every man on the bus was smoking. The whole bus was just like full of cigarette smokes
and eating sunflower seeds like all night, 18 hours of like sunflower seeds and cigarettes.
Yes, on the trains, you mean, right?
Buses and trains, actually, both.
Wow. Yeah, that's
Nasty.
and then you get back to Brazil, and of course, like, you cannot smoke in closed places, restaurants and stuff like that. Also, there is like something that always got me like really annoyed in China was that how like the overuse of plastic. Like everything, everywhere, it's like just so much plastic. They don't care, and then when a country like China doesn't care, we should all be worried because, and in Brazil, I'm not saying that Brazil is like the top country of like anti-plastic. No, it's not. People still go to the supermarkets. They don't take their shopping bags and they use plastic bags. And that was one of the things that got me like so irritated. Like every time I was in the supermarket, I'm like, and they would offer and they're like, no, it's free. You don't have to pay. I'm like, I don't want more plastic.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not saying it because I have to pay for it. I don't want the plastic. And they're like, no, take it. You need it. I'm like, no. The worst is when people put bananas in plastic bags. I'm like, it already has a vehicle.
Yes, exactly. And then the other thing is like the also about like going to restaurants and stuff. And you know, in China, I actually did this accidentally in Brazil. In China, you could go in with your soda bottle, your beer, your bottle of wine, and anything. You can just go in the restaurant, order the food and drink your own drink and, you know, have your own drink. And in Brazil, one day I was like, oh gosh, I cannot do that. And I remember I walked in with like a bottle of Coke and I was just like drinking before. But then again, because it's Brazil, it's my hometown, I know the owner of the bar. I was like, sorry. I was like, sorry. He was like, it's okay. You can drink, like, because I knew him. But of course you cannot do that in a restaurant. Just walking with a, so it's these things that like are so annoying, like everyday life. The way that people don't, you know, they cut in line in China and then you get to Brazil, it's like, oh, but then the worst part is when you feel that you're doing the wrong way because you're so used to China. Like, it's like, okay, just, you know, bump into, it's just like 10,000 people to get into a train. You know, you just bump into people, just getting in. Uh-huh. And in Brazil, people are like, excuse me? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, sorry.
Yeah, there are definitely those like weird small things that you don't realize. Like even I don't remember, this is like maybe 10 years ago. I was with my sister actually, and we were at a bookstore, and there was like, we were in an aisle looking at books, and there was a woman a few feet away from me looking at books, and I wanted to go where my sister was, so I just like walked by her and I didn't say anything. Like, she doesn't own the aisle, and I just walked by her, and my sister was like, that was so rude. And I was like, what was rude? She's like, you didn't even say excuse me.
Oh. And I was like,
why would I need to say excuse me? I just passed her. She's like, yeah, but you walked in front of her. And I was like, oh, is that rude? Like, why do I have to say excuse me? Like, I'm just going, you're in the way. She should say excuse me. She's in the way.
That's exactly it. But that's exactly it. You know, like, and the how much people stare in China is also because to foreigners is like
a lot of staring in China.
Sometimes it's really annoying sometimes, but at the same time, it's like you get to Brazil, they're like, nobody's staring at me. You know, I look like everyone else. Like, cool. You know, my accent is the same, you know?
Yeah. You know what? That's how I felt about being in London. I was like, not a single man is staring at me or hitting on me or following me. This is great. Like, there's no creepy men in London. I mean, I'm sure there are, but I was just like, wow. It makes you realize like how creepy men are around the world too. And then you get to a place like London, and you're like, no one even looks at me. This is amazing.
That's interesting because I saw you mentioned that in a video about the cons of living in Georgia, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been followed several times in Georgia. Just like men following me. It's gross.
Wow. Yeah, I can't even think about that. Imagine that, because of course, like for women it's because you were there alone, but then you were there with Art, right?
Yeah, I mean, we met there, so it's not like we went together. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, just walking down the street, it's like you have to be super alert because like this guy was sitting on a bench and I walked past him and he like tried to smile and I ignored him. And so then he like got up and just like started walking behind me, and I felt like he just was like trying to talk to me, but that was weird. And so I would like stop and like look on my phone and try to let him pass. And then he would stop and do something. And then I would like finally stop, tie my shoe or something, let him pass. And then he was in front of me and he kept like turning around and like turning around to see where I was. And finally, when he crossed a street, I just like quickly turned left and ran away, like ran down the street. Cause I was like, this is so crazy. Like, why do I have to deal with this? I can't even walk down the street. But in London, not a single person looked at me. And I was like, oh, I love it. I love it.
that's the the funny thing about London, the interesting and the good thing, actually. I also got like friends in London, women who were like, who told me the same thing. They're like, oh, in South America, men would stare at you and they don't care if you don't like it. And then in London, it's like, no, you shouldn't be doing that. And they told me, like, I have two friends who live there, and they told me that the same thing. So yeah, there are a lot of like negative aspects. Of course, we are also mentioned like the good things about being back home. It's, you know, the food. It's like you don't have to worry about like people not understanding you.
Yeah.
That's unless you go to Miami, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Miami is like the capital of Latin America.
That's interesting. Oh gosh. Yeah. So I think that what could we tell like people who might have experienced culture shock or who have left their countries for like over 6 months a year and might experience it like, I don't know, in the future. What can we say like to make them not feel as bad as we have?
Well, I guess like be patient with yourself and also have a sense of humor. Like you're gonna make weird mistakes and like not understand things about your own country even, you know, like, wow, things have changed. Like even it was really weird for me coming back this last time in June, because like, it's one thing coming back after a year and a half to your country, but this is the first time ever I've come back when there's a pandemic. So I'm like, I know how to handle a pandemic in Georgia and Turkey, but like, I don't know what it's like in the United States. Like, do people wear masks? Do they like, and this is like before the big, or like, I guess a lot of people had already been vaccinated. I hadn't yet. And so it was weird. I was just like, I don't, what's a pandemic like in the States? I don't know. That was really weird.
That's true. That's true. I was isolated. Like I was doing the right thing, let's say. Like I was isolated till there was the first shot of the vaccine. And then, you know, I started actually going out again. But one thing that I would say, that's true. Like it's when you go back and sometimes you're like, okay, let me try to, you know, before judging, because I actually had two arguments with like Uber drivers in Brazil because they're super pro Bolsonaro. And like one, I literally said, okay, can you just stop the car? I'm leaving. Like, and I literally stepped out of the car because he was like saying all these crazy things about anti-vax and how how mainstream media is, you know? So I would say that like, and I suffered a lot, like especially in the first 3 months. And then I was like, you know what? Chill. Just don't. Then I wouldn't answer. I would just be like, sure. And I would agree with him and just like, true. So I would just say like, don't expect people to be on your same wavelength because you left, you've seen so many different people, culture, you know, different backgrounds, and then you come back and then don't expect them to have the same experience as you because obviously, so just be, as you said, be patient. Be gentle, be nice, and whenever you have a chance, I don't know, go to Buenos Aires or come to Colombia.
Yeah, that's great. You know, that's the thing, though, like, about traveling as well. Like, the people who travel are more open-minded and, like, outgoing because we have to be, you know? It's like, if we want to meet people as we're traveling, like, we have to have this mindset of, like, being really open to people and talking to people and being friendly. And I remember that is one of the hardest things that I had coming back is that I just felt like I wanted to like chat with people and like people were really turned off by that. And one time I went to the bank or no, I went to the DMV, which is the, where we get our driver's license, the Department of Motor Vehicles. And I was in the DMV and it has like a reputation for being just like very depressing and the people who work there are rude and whatever. So I went there and cause I got my wallet stolen in Budapest or something. So when I came back to the States, I had to get a new driver's license. And there was a guy, I was sitting in the lobby and there was a guy at the counter and he was talking to the worker guy. And the worker was like, sorry, you can't pay in credit card. You have to pay in cash. There's an ATM outside, but it's broken. And then there's a bank on the other side of the parking lot and you have to like drive through the bank ATM and then come back. And so I was like, oh shit, I don't have cash either. So I was like, excuse me, did he just say like you have to go to the bank? And he was like, yeah. And so we started chatting, and then I was like, well, are you going to the bank? And he was like, yeah, I'm going. And I was like, yeah, me too. Do you want to just go together? Like, do you want to just drive together to the bank? Because it's like 2 minutes away. Like, otherwise we just drive two cars. And he was like, oh, no, I'll take my own car. And I was like, I'm not trying to like hit on you. We're just going to the same place and coming back, but okay. So then we just went to the parking lot and got in our own cars and drove across the parking lot, went through the bank ATM, and then we both came back. And then he just ignored me. He wouldn't even look at me when we came back. And I was like, oh, weird. Because you're so used to like when you're traveling, you're like, oh, nice to meet you. Oh, you're going here today? All right, cool. Let's go together. And then you're like best friends right away.
That's so true.
Yeah, but in the States, and I imagine other places where people are settled into their routine and their own friends and everything, they're so less open to new people. And the guy was like, why would you want to drive in my car? Like, that's weird.
But I hadn't thought about that. That's so true. Like, here in Bogota, in Medellin, I had the same experience. In Medellin, me and Leo, we went on this free walking tour. And then we met this girl from France, was traveling around South America, and she just came and had lunch with us.
Yeah.
And we just chatted for like 2 hours after the tour. In Bogota, we met a guy from Portugal, and he was like, where are you guys having lunch? Oh, we're just coming here. We're just going to go somewhere. Oh, I'll join you. And of course, we speak the same language. And then we're like just chatting for, again, 2 hours. That's true. And then when you get back home and you're like trying to, you know, sometimes try, and then people are like, because
people are just open to it. Like when I was in China in 2006, I was in Xinjiang in the Northwest, and I was walking with my friend Calvin, just like this other guy that I had met in China. And then this Norwegian guy saw us, and he just like could tell that we were two other foreigners. And he just came up to us and was like, hey, can I hang out? And we were like, yeah, hang out. And then we hung out for 4 days. And like, that's just how it is when you're like, have that in common of being the other, you know? Yeah. But you definitely don't have those kind of connections in your own country.
And this reminds me of like maybe the last thing that I want to mention is like, because of that, when you get back home and you listen to people and their judgment about other people, you know, like it's just like gossip, as I mentioned in the beginning here. It's just like gossip and stuff. But you're like, why is she saying this? Like, and again, for example, oh, did you know, like he's 39 years old. Why is he going out with this girl or this guy or hanging out with this group of like 25 year olds or in their late 20s, you know, because that's wrong or something. You're like, you're just so more open when you're abroad that you're like, I don't care how old you are. Just like, are you a cool person? Let's hang out, you know? So it's it's the open-minded mentality. And then you come back home and it's like, okay. They still think about that here. So
yeah, they're just like more stuck in their routines.
Yeah. Exactly. And nothing new. And that's why, again, when I had the chance, I came here to Colombia, and you are leaving very soon to Buenos Aires. So Nikki, thanks a lot. I really want to say that like we have to like record again after, I don't know, 1 or 2 months in Buenos Aires, because I'm so interested like in going back to Argentina after, I don't know, 8 years, and to see how things are there. So make sure you take notes or you
post definitely
on your Instagram, on your YouTube. I'm going to watch that so that I can follow in, and I want to know more about you in Buenos Aires. But thanks a lot for your time, and thanks a lot.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
Thank you. For videos about life in different countries, interviews with expats, and travel guides, go to youtube.com/readygoexpat.